This is URN.
Hello and welcome back to the Thursday edition of The Pulse, where we discuss news stories ranging from international to right here on campus. You're joined by me, Catherine, Eleanor, Miriam, Annette, Tom and Dom, so a big Pulse today. Today we're going to be discussing three stories. Tom will be introducing the story on Brexit deals that were made last night and the repercussions this morning. So as always, if you have any comments on the topics discussed on today's Pulse, do message in on urn1350.net, drop us a free web text or message us on the app or tweet us at urn1350. So Tom, do you want to take it away with the story on Brexit?
All right, so fantastic. Basically, this morning, Brexit Secretary Raab resigned over Theresa May's new proposed Brexit deal, and that triggered a small wave of resignations. So Work and Pensions Secretary Esther McVeigh, the Vice Chairman of the party, etc. Now, Theresa May has withstood resignations from senior cabinet officials before. However, this one seems different. Michael Gove has been offered Brexit Secretary, but wants the freedom to pursue his own, a different deal. And if she decides no to that, it's difficult to see how he, a giant in her cabinet, could stay in the cabinet. Jacob Rees-Mogg has submitted a letter to go to a vote of no confidence on the Prime Minister, Theresa May. Now, 47 MPs need to do the same, and some MPs have already come forward saying they've done so. Jacob Rees-Mogg is the leader of Brexiteer MPs, now Theresa May faces a real threat to her leadership. Although many more MPs approve of her persistence and job that she's doing as Prime Minister than her proposed Brexit deal. Questions over whether this is the time for a long protracted leadership challenge. Moreover, the deal has enraged the DUP over the future of the Northern Irish border. Theresa May this morning received 3 hours of questions from hostile MPs on her deal. Now, the deal itself, it's important to keep in mind that this is a withdrawal agreement and not about a permanent future relationship with the EU. The main tenets of this deal, a transitional period of 21 months to allow everyone more time to prepare for the long-term change, that's businesses, that's the government. But what's important about this transitional period is that the economic situation won't change and we will remain under jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice. And this can only be ended if the EU and the UK both agree. And this is something that really enrages Brexiteer MPs as they perceive this deal. If we want to leave and the EU don't, then we can't leave, basically. Northern Ireland. Ireland doesn't want a hard border between its two constituent parts. A temporary customs union with the whole of the UK will be formed, called a single customs territory, so that means no tariffs. But Northern Ireland will actually be in a deeper customs relationship with the EU than Great Britain. Now, May has called this the best of both worlds for Northern Ireland, but the DUP disagree. So the central areas of debate will be, is May's Brexit deal the best deal that can be achieved, whether we should support May to remain in her post, should we have another general election, and lastly, should we have another referendum?
I mean, it all just feels like a bit of a mess at the moment. I think it's very difficult to have a definitive opinion immediately because there's so many different facets to it, and obviously May is trying to deliver a deal for the entire country when, you know, there's 50% of people voted one way, 40% of the people voted another, roughly. So it's very difficult for her to deliver a deal that suits everyone. At the moment, it feels like she's trying to do that. However, I don't think that in the case of Brexit, you can deliver a deal that appeals to everyone. And I think that in trying to do so, she is complicating the situation more. She'd be better either pursuing hard Brexit, just going all out and leaving the EU entirely, or possibly at this stage, maybe it is better to have no deal and seeing what the UK can get without having to address European Union issues.
I think you're completely right in that she's trying to search for a deal that will satisfy everyone. And in doing so, she's found a deal, she has done previously, which satisfies absolutely no one apart from herself. Hence, previously there were resignations about, basically, she put things in a deal which would not benefit the UK in the slightest. I mean, it would seriously hinder our trade positions with several other countries outside of the EU. And that's why a lot of these members are leaving, because they don't feel like she's upholding what the vote originally stood for. And if you're beholden to so many different EU laws, which is what she's, you know, trying to find some middle ground, then it's not going to satisfy anyone.
Do you not think that perhaps she's getting a bit of a harsh deal, like there is no person who could do this job perfectly and there's going to be criticism from every angle? Is it fair necessarily to jump down her throat?
Oh, I had high hopes for her at the beginning of this. I was backing May all the way when she first came into power, and I was thinking, wow, she is the right person to do this. But as time's gone on, she's become weaker and weaker and more capitulant. And you're right, anyone in this position would find it hard, but she has to at some point grow a backbone and say, no, this is what will benefit the UK as a whole, and these are some of the things we have to stand up for. And for example, the last deal she came up with, the Chequers plan, the EU rejected it out of hand before they even received it. So there are some points at which you have to go, right, the EU aren't going to play ball. We have a lot of leverage. Why not use some of it?
As well, it seems like that it's not just the public who... Because, I mean, according to a YouGov survey, I think 44% of Britons believe a better deal could be possible. But it's also, there's a lack of, I guess, faith in the ministers and the cabinet. Do you guys have anything to say on that?
I think it's important to recognise whether there is a parliamentary majority for basically anything revolving Brexit. I don't know if you'd have a parliamentary majority for anything. I mean, mathematically, with all the MPs who have come out against this deal is mathematically dead as a dodo already. It's mathematically impossible for this deal to pass. So you're now in a position where who is going to, you know, foster this new deal? You know, it's been 2.5 years getting to this point. No one really perceives, at least I don't, that time having, you know, being spent productively. And with the questions now about whether May will stay in her post, are you really going to have a new prime minister with a new plan within the next however much time we have until, you know, we've really got to leave this thing? So however poorly the deal is perceived, or May is perceived, are we not now in a position where this is the only deal, the only alternative to a no-deal Brexit, which everyone agrees is the worst option for the United Kingdom?
You're right, a protracted leadership battle is not what is needed right now. But if you're going to take a no-deal Brexit off the cards, then that immediately weakens us. And if we don't have a threat of no-deal Brexit, then we are dead in the water, and we have to capitulate to any... I don't feel like any deal is better than no deal. And some of the deals and ideas being put forward are catastrophic towards the UK economy.
Yeah, I think the problem at the moment is that in trying to reach a deal, there isn't really a consensus on what deal we want, in terms of the fact that when people voted for Brexit, I don't necessarily think many people knew what Leave meant. I don't think the people who voted for it knew what Leave meant, and I don't think the people who advocated for Leave knew what Leave meant. So then to try and come up with a deal to leave the European Union without actually knowing what leaving means, whether that means going back to the public, setting out a list of what leave would mean and then having another referendum, that's a possibility, not one I would particularly promote, but I don't know. Before we set out what leave actually means, how can we come up with a deal to enact it?
I think if the alternative is remaining in the European Union, which you know, no one on this panel has suggested so far. I think it's important to recognise that, you know, the termage for this new referendum is called the people's vote. And for me, that seems quite galling, because haven't the people already had their vote and had their say? This week, the EU, Angela Merkel, and obviously she's not running the EU, but she kind of mooted the idea of having a kind of a EU army within the next few years, yeah. which... is something which, you know, would be so galling to UK politics had we chose to stay. And I believe for a lot of Brexiteers will only further their resolve that, you know, the second referendum and the kind of the spectre of the second referendum staying in the EU is probably the very worst thing they could imagine.
Thank you for bringing up those points on Angela Merkel saying that, because unironically, the EU is talking about building an empire in that terminology. That is not something we can stay in, and it's not something that's something we can be beholden to. And May is... we're currently bringing you the live updates of May's press conference. Currently, she's still late out onto stage, but Sources are saying that Graham Brady hasn't yet received the 48 votes needed to spark a leadership challenge. But I want to go back to what you were saying with... three things at once I've forgotten. But it was... people didn't know what they were voting for. I almost find that slightly condescending, because this was the largest vote that the UK has ever had in its entire history. And you could say that about any vote that's ever... Like, people don't know all the facts, people don't know all the points, but people came out in droves to try and say something that they are suffering. There are working class people who are suffering and not being heard and being ignored. And this was their way of saying, we need help. And I'm of the view that most of them knew what they were talking about. I'm not going to dismiss them out of hand. Like, I voted to leave, and I knew exactly what I was doing.